All right, game day Thursday. Ira Kaufman podcast is back. It's a little bit of a short abbreviated edition as on a short week, but there will be a special Ira Kaufman podcast tomorrow after tonight's Bucks-Falcons game on Thursday Night Football, John Lynch night. As always, Ira Kaufman podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. The star of the show is Ira Kaufman, a man everybody knows or should know, or if you don't know, you can always give him a hug, press the flesh with him. You track him up in Newport Richey at Publix or wherever he is up there.
All the time.
I'm Steve Isbitz with Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com. And Ira, one thing we did not ask you after Sunday's debacle, and this obviously will be a big situation to look at tonight, Roberto Aguayo, key miss in that game, extra point. Bucks could not tie the game. It did affect the way the game was played after that. Not something that could be ignored. Obviously, the Bucks lost in overtime. Anytime you miss an extra point and it goes to overtime, it's an issue. And we know that this is now a more than a two-month struggle for Aguayo. It's not just a bad slump of three games. He struggled in preseason.
Thought he got over it.
And he's never been consistent since he's arrived. Never. So what's your take?
Lee, number one, he is keeping Jason Light in the Maalox business because he's causing him agita. Jason Light is on the line here in great measure because he vouched for this kid. That's number one. Now we'll take it from a coaching standpoint, Lee. If I'm Dirk Cutter, I'm a little uncomfortable going into the biggest game of the year. Unsure about my kicker, Lee. That is not a good feeling. And if the Bucks lose this game, and they're 3-5 at the midpoint, and Steve, 0-4 at home, if they lose this game, and way behind the Falcons atop the NFC South, you would say that the Bucks haven't made any progress. And nobody at the Buck organization wants to say that at the midpoint of the season. That's how big a game this is.
I'm not going to try to change the subject from Aguayo, but I'll just make a point here. I think Cutter's got bigger fish to fry than Aguayo. I'm not saying Aguayo is trust me, he's causing people problems. But if you say he's Maalox for Jason Light, well, then this kid is a bleeding ulcer for Dirk Cutter, who's got to be hospitalized for it. Because as Dirk Cutter, and I'm going to be Jason Pawlowski here. So if people don't hear a foul word, turn down your audio, put down pause, put the kids away, put your earbuds on. As Dirk Cutter famously said last year, the only thing people give a shit about are wins, quote unquote. And he's cost them wins. However, he's not going to cost Dirk Cutter's job. Jameis Winston's progress, or shall we say regress, is going to cost Dirk Cutter's job. Not this year. But the only reason Cutter is here, let's face it, boys, the only reason why Cutter is here is Jameis Winston, plain and simple.
And his continued development.
Yes. And Cutter denies it because I bluntly asked him this a couple weeks ago. I asked him if Jameis regressed. He said no. Well, I just look at the numbers and go watch the game film. He's regressed. And if Jameis continues to slide like this, I'm not saying Cutter, I'm not going to go like some people who are irrational and say and write stories that Cutter's gone after the year. That's baloney. But if Jameis doesn't improve by, let's say, this time next year, then Cutter's very much on the hot seat if they're not winning.
There's no way around the link between Cutter and Jameis Winston. Steve, you know that better than anybody. But Aguayo continues to be a lingering issue, Steve. Lingering. As you mentioned, it's going on for 10 weeks now. Long time.
That's a very long time. So, biggest game of the year tonight. We're recording this earlier in the week, so maybe the Bucks have brought in an ace in the hole kicker.
I don't know if they have enough time, Steve.
Maybe they traded on Tuesday for a kicker.
Which is not good.
Which would be unlikely. But what do you do here, Ira? You ride it out? Because you could argue now that Aguayo cost them the Rams game, and you could argue that he had a huge role in Sunday's game. That's two home games now. You don't want your kicker playing a critical negative role.
Steve, they did bail him out with the two-point conversion, but you would still argue that was a major faux pas.
It also could have been a two-point conversion for a victory.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you.
It's a good way to look at it, Steve.
You know?
I got to have confidence in my kicker, gentlemen, and the Bucks don't have it.
No, they don't.
And the Bucks don't have
it. He's not giving them a reason to have confidence.
Here comes Matt Bryant. You talk about steady. You talked about crazy things happen to the Bucks in these home games in Donald Penn. Here comes Matt Bryant.
You are my hero.
Suppose he nails a 52-yarder, you know, in a game that Aguayo misses 240-yarders. Hey. Could that happen, Steve?
Yeah, and absolutely. That's the Bucks soap opera script. That's the way they write it up.
And here's some more soap opera for you. We're talking kickers. We're talking Xbox kickers. We're talking trades. Steve said, "Oh, you know, maybe the Bucks will make a trade." You know, obviously Tuesday's the deadline. The last time this team traded for a kicker was guess who? Mr. AC/DC himself, and he trades for Bada Brinza. How did that go? What I referred to once? Directionally challenged Kyle Brinsda. So far, Jason Light's history with kickers isn't too good.
Yeah, and in the realm of soap opera, not to get ahead of ourselves, Ira, at all, but of course the kicker for the Bears coming up next week is Connor Barth.
So it was horrible.
That's right out of Hollywood for you right there. He's horrible, but he's having a better year than Aguayo.
You're a cruel man. You're a cruel man, Esbitt. You're a cruel man.
But the game tonight. Quick, Ira, give me three keys to tonight's game.
All right. I would say getting Mike Evans back in the groove because the Falcons secondary, I think, is mediocre, although I think Trufant's a good player. I expect him to shadow Evans. But when Evans is on, which he was not, I didn't think, against the Raiders, he's a handful. So that's my number one. Number two, better running game. Which they showed maybe week one in Atlanta. And third, you can never go wrong, Steve, with the pass rush. Matt Ryan is the classic pocket passer. Lee, if he runs, it's out of necessity. He ain't scaring nobody with a scamper. And you got to put him on his keister. And maybe this is the type of game that the reason you signed Robert Ayers, he needs to show up.
Sure, I'll take your point one, and I know what you were saying about point one.
That was Mike Evans.
You know what? I'll reinforce that. Not so much that Mike Evans needs to do something. Somebody else needs to show up to help Mike Evans. As you saw a couple days ago on Sunday, they were double and triple teaming the guy. Someone else has to be a little more consistent, whether that be the immortal Cecil Shorts, whether that be Russell Shepard. Who knows if he's going to play because he got dinged up Sunday.
Humphreys made a nice play spinning out of that tackle, Steve. That's a 40-yard play.
He doesn't stretch the field.
You know, but
somebody else has to. I hate to use the term step up because someone else has to show up. Let's put it that way.
You got to make teams pay for focusing on Mike.
Yeah, I mean, Freddie Martino has to step away from his organ maybe and come out and make a couple catches. Something. Now, I wrote this Sunday, and I'll say it again. It showed up Sunday. I wrote about it Sunday night, and I hope I don't have to write about it again. The chickens came home to roost. Steve and I banged our keyboards all off season. Jason Light, will you please go out and get a legitimate backup receiver? Because you're banking on a lot of hope and prayer that the same receivers from 2015 were going to return in 16, and none of that happened. And boy, wouldn't a guy like Samu or...
Well, we'll see if they pulled off a trade. Yeah, Mohamed Sanu was the guy we wrote about.
Sanu, and I was screaming, Darius Hayward-Bay or Roddy White. Man, wouldn't that, one of those three guys look great now.
And Sanu's coming to town tonight. On that note, Ira, against the Raiders on Sunday, Cecil Shorts, a guy who's gotten a ton of snaps the past 2 weeks, four targets, no catches. He's got one catch in three games.
I'm a little surprised. I thought Shorts would
very disappointing. Very disappointing.
Well, the guy was looking for work and stink in September. But, I mean,
by the way, Steve, one thing worth mentioning, guys, about Sunday's game, I just took a quick look at the stats the other day, and it looked like to me they had only one play over 20 yards. Steve, I think it was the catch and run by Humphreys.
Yeah,
that was their only play of 20 yards or more all game.
Not to knock Humphreys, that was a broken. I mean, that was a missed tackle more than anything.
Yeah, it's a good play, but it's not enough.
And the Raiders had a bunch of 20-yard plays.
I think, Ira, for me, as far as a key tonight, two things. One, the play callers got to step up a little bit better. We're not seeing slant passes. I don't know why that's out of the Bucs' vocabulary. Any kind of screen game seems to be gone. now that Charles Sims is gone.
He's got the perfect guy for that, Antoine Smith.
We've got we don't really throw much to tight ends over the middle. It seems like a foreign concept. I don't know. There's just not a lot of interesting things happening, at least against the Raiders. But number two, something to watch, and I know you love these stats, Ira, something for you to look up, maybe a little homework if you feel like it.
Challenge, Lee.
After tonight's game, but I don't have the numbers in front of me. But Jameis Winston, who we talked about to start the podcast, if you look at it, Jameis plays a lot better against defenses he's familiar with. He saw the Rams a second time. He torched them this year. The Bucs didn't win that game, but Jameis was ringing up all kinds of numbers. He played very well.
He said
well.
He didn't get the job done on the final drive,
but he didn't.
But he racked up yards.
But he had a good day.
I'm just calling you out. No, just keep it.
I didn't say he...
Keeping you in line.
His ability to win is a different story, but he played well against the Rams.
So the Falcons, he's certainly familiar with.
Falcons, Carolina. Look at the Saints' second game last year. You know, maybe as a young quarterback, after he sees a defense once, he's a little more comfortable. I think maybe we'll see that again tonight, hopefully.
Now, they played the Bears last year, right? So that could hold true for the game after that.
It could hold true for the game after that. So hope's alive in Tampa, but they got to get this one.
You got to get this one. You got to get this one.
This is the season because it's 4-4 with a perfect record against...
And Atlanta would be 5-4.
Yeah, that's if you win tonight, perfect record in the division, okay? 4-4.
Bears on the horizon.
You've got the tiebreaker edge against... Atlanta.
That's right.
You're in the driver's seat. You lose tonight. We'll be discussing how the Bucs need to draft a receiver and how early. So that's really the argument. All right, Ira, of course, we appreciate you sitting in for our shortened podcast today.
And we'll have a bonus podcast, right, Steve?
Presented by Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. Visit their websites, edmorescadillactampa.com and edmorescadillacbrandon.com. And yes, bonus podcast tomorrow, Friday, early morning after the game. We'll be staying up as late as possible to get Ira's intense reaction, hopefully using all kinds of colorful adjectives and verbs. And
let us not leave without noting, gentlemen, that I believe I'm the only one of the three of us that picked the Raiders to beat the Bucs on Sunday. Is that correct?
I think that's correct. So I'm not sure Lee made an official prediction.
I didn't make an official pick, but
Lee's off the hook. But you know what? We have to be true to ourselves, Ira. And... in our last podcast, we mentioned Jonathan Banks. Now, maybe by the time this goes, maybe he's not on the team anymore, but he's been inactive the last 2 weeks. Your thoughts before we close?
My thoughts is that I thought Jonathan Banks was a nice emerging player 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lovie Smith came to town to talk about your guy.
Toast Jenkins.
And the next thing you know, nobody's ever seen...
A guy banished
like this.
Banished.
I've never seen such a deep doghouse, Steve. Now, he's not hurt. I tried to talk to him the other day. He doesn't want to talk. I don't blame him.
He talked to us.
But he's the guy that actually said, gave me one of the great quotes I've ever had in this business a few years ago when I said, hey, you're gonna how's that sprained ankle? You going to be able to play Sunday? He goes, Ira, I played with Mercer. So you can't beat that line. For that alone, I love the guy. Steve, I don't understand why he's not playing. I don't understand.
Here's the thing about Banks, and I've been a big Banks defender and supporter. I thought and still do that Lovie ruined him. You know, the guy led the team in interceptions, then he vanished and banished, you know, gone. And give they tried chance. To replace him with Toast Jenkins. Come on. Now, I've talked to some people who would know within the Bucs, and they're not fond of his practice habits.
Maybe his work habits, Steve.
They're
maybe
not fond of his practice habits. But you know what? When the son of a gun gets on the field, he makes plays. When it looked like he was going to get cut in preseason, they threw him out, you know, in schlock duty, mop-up duty. He's making plays. He's breaking up passes. He's getting picks. He's getting tackles. When Jason Light always talks about, I want a player when the lights are on, he performs. Well, that's Jonathan Banks. And so I think that's what it is. He turns the coaches off. Perhaps, I'm not there, you know, we're only allowed to watch X amount of minutes of practice, and they're not going to show us anything they don't want us to see. So we're not privy to practices, but just based on what I hear from Bucs people, and this is back in preseason when they told me about Banks, I just guess that they don't like his practice habits, but he makes plays.
I think it's almost really pretty simple with Banks. When you're in this league, and you're not a nickel, and he's not a nickel cornerback kind of guy at all. So he's not versatile. And if you're not versatile and you're playing behind Grimes and Hargraves, then you have to be good at special teams. And he's not a special teams player.
Not bad.
Basically, he's inactive.
Well, you know what? Someone tweeted, and I got to confirm this because I don't know who the guy tweeted us during the Sunday's game against the Raiders. He claims that Banks played safety at Mississippi State. That's the first I've heard of that. I'll have to do some research. So if that's the case, you know, could the Bucs keep him around and try to transfer him into a safety next
year? If I'm a team in the next offseason, I'm taking a look at Banks. You know, I think
trade bait.
I think he's worth a look.
Yeah, I mean, his contract ends this year. I don't see any real reason why he'd be coming back.
No.
And but he'll have a job in the NFL. No question.
Quick, I said this obviously already, but I wrote this as well the other day that, you know, and I was pretty blunt about it. I said, yeah, I'm convinced that Lovie Smith ruined Jonathan Banks. About 4 or 5 hours later, Jonathan twitters us and he goes, "Don't worry, Joe. He didn't ruin me. I just need to get on the field." He goes, "Jonathan's a good guy.
At least he's got a sense of humor."
Oh, absolutely. Now, Ira, last thing on your podcast today. We're going to close with this prediction tonight: Bucks Falcons.
Bucks Falcons. I think desperation wins the day. Bucks play well against the Falcons last couple of years. Short week for the visitors. I picked the Raiders last week. I'm going with the Bucks. Keeps them relevant and keeps this season interesting.
Score?
Bucks win.
Score?
Score. Look at this. 27-23, Bucks.
All right, folks. Head out to Vegas. You can still get a flight. Ira has spoken.
Don't put the house money on it, people.
We'll see you tomorrow, Ira.